The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Hey guys, sports betting season is in full force. NHL and NBA playoffs, we enjoyed those, and now football season is here. You need a sportsbook with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sportsbook industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BetUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BETUS. US. You can receive a 125% sign-up bonus by using the bonus code SST125. That's SST125. They have re-up and referral bonuses also. BetUS is known as America's favorite sports book for a lot of reasons. No matter what the season, BetUS has all the games, NBA, NHL, team, player props, loads of NFL and college plays, whether futures or individual game odds. You can bet UFC matches and props, PGA golf, and round matchups and live betting on most sports, including golf. The online casino has hundreds of games, and the racebook has all your horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable, and the Sharp BetUS mobile platform is easy with full betting options. Follow my lead and partner with a sports betting company with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
It's hour two on a Wednesday, and that's always one of my favorite days of the week. Actually, you know what? It may have the belt. We got Landry for two segments, bottom of hour one. That's always the case. And during the season, it nudges out Tuesdays because Russ Mitchell's here. And Russ Mitchell, you may know him from Fox on TV or College Football News. He's a Heisman voter, just all manner of media of opportunities for you to see him and listen to him. And Wednesdays during the season, right here, every Wednesday, hour two. And also coming up in 10, we got Jason Caldwell from the 24/7 Network. Obviously, he covers Auburn, has for more than two decades now, 22 years he's been covering Auburn. And always love catching up with Jason when it comes time to talk Tigers, but right now I'm going to get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365.
Headline, LSU offensive tackle uncertain for SEC opener. LSU playing Mississippi State, looking for payback in Starkville. Ed Ogeron, there again, I'll give him credit. He'll talk. He will tell you what his understanding of things are most often. And a lot of coaches, they're going the other way. So thank you to Coach O. Coach Ogeron himself said earlier today he is unsure whether Cam Wire will play Saturday against Mississippi State. Now, it's Wednesday, and he hadn't practiced this week. He also said that, now this is a paraphrase, but he used these words, finding a left tackle is a concern for us right now. I can't imagine that if I were to take the pulse of the LSU fan base that that's the word. Hey, what do you think about your left tackle right now? It's a concern. Well, what's concerning about him? Oh, no. It's not a him. It's just this. We don't have one. He doesn't concern me. It concerns me. That it is always worse than he. I promise you. He started, he started, got hurt, and don't know if he's going to play on Saturday, and not even his coach does. Speaking of which, headline, Slovis takes first team reps at USC practice. There was supposed to be a quarterback duel or something this week. Keaton Slovis got hurt during the game Saturday for USC. Boy, they opened canned on Wazoo. Washington State got out early, but then USC came back. It was an entertaining game. I enjoyed it. And boy, Drake London got involved. That is a big, giant-looking receiver, man. Like him a lot. Slovis got hurt and exited. Jackson Dart, freshman, comes off the bench and throws for a lot of yards and a lot of scores. And so they're supposed to duke it out because it was a neck injury for Slovis, but he was going to be back and at the MRI and everything's good. So he's going to be back at practice, and they'll be duking it out on Tuesday. Oh, well, turns out Dart hurt his knee. So he won't be practicing, at least right now. It's not perceived to be a serious thing, but he did not practice. And so right now that quarterback battle is just really not happening. I told you about Charlie Brewer. Transferred to Utah, started three games, didn't work out. Yeah, I'm going to leave now. Same thing, Ohio State Buckeyes reserve linebacker Dallas Grant. He's like everybody else that goes to Ohio State, had a bunch of stars, at least four. 6'3", 235. And he is a senior, and he's like, yeah, I'm not starting. I played in 38 games, never started. So he is in the portal to leave now. There's a bunch of other stories like that. It's three or four games into the season for everybody. It's at least three games. And it's likely some for it's already four if you play week zero. So this is the time. It's portal week, and we're seeing it happen. By the way, folks, it's only Wednesday. All right, I'm pointing at you right now. Your team is going to have at least two guys jump into the portal because, well, I'm not getting mine. And they will be off on their way, and I will say good for them. Hope to find a landing spot, and I mean that. All right, wraps that up on a Wednesday. Let's go ahead and take a break. Come back. We'll talk with Jason Caldwell next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. And today, 7 years ago, today, 2014, we cut the ribbon on this show, and nobody heard the first show, though. We didn't have the satellite coordinate punched in, right? So literally, I talked to it. Not one person heard it other than me and the producer. But happy seventh birthday to us anyway. I had somebody comment whenever I have guests on, and you know, I mean, I know so many of these people and have for years that I'll say, I do a great job. And he's like, it's not a job. They just go to games and, you know, then talk about the games. If you can do it wrong and get fired, that means it's a job. So covering a team is a job. And it used to be, and I'll use our next guest as an example. He covers Auburn for Inside the Auburn Tigers, has for about two decades. Time was that it was just, I got to post an article today, and you'd write three or four paragraphs, and be done for the day. Well, yeah, you still do that, as well as pictures and video and podcasts and online polls and just about everything else to create. I mean, just run through content. You got to create that stuff. So it is a job. You can do it wrong. And this guy does a tremendous job of it, again, from Inside the Auburn Tigers, part of the 24/7 Sports Network. It is Jason Caldwell. Jason, how are you today?
Chuck, I'm doing good. Yeah, it's a job when you have weekends like you know we had last weekend or weekend we have coming up in 2 weeks. I think we left press box in College Station at 1:45 or so in the morning, And if anybody's ever been there, you know, unless you're staying in College Station, if you're not, you got an hour and a half anywhere you get. You get back to the hotel a little bit before 4 o'clock in the morning and got 15 minutes of sleep, took a shower and went to the airport. So that's that makes it for a challenge, you know, for weekends like we have the last couple.
And just real quick, give me like 30 seconds or so about that, because what I was saying, I want to talk Auburn, obviously, but your job, like when I first met you, wasn't it post an article or two today? And well, that's kind of it. Now it literally is video, podcast, the audio from it, the pictures and the articles and all that other stuff. I mean, it is a totally different job now in five different ways.
It is. And the advent of social media, you know, people think about how much has changed everybody's day-to-day life. For a sports writer, it's turned it upside down. You know, it used to be the news cycle was, you know, started in the morning and ended, you know, about 9 or 9:30 at night. Now it's 24/7, 365 days a year. I mean, we have kids that commit on Christmas Day and they announce it and have a, you know, well, that means you got to do a story on Christmas Day. So, it changed completely.
Well, let's talk Auburn. They fall 28-20 to Penn State, and there's positives. And there's a positive that, I mean, I don't know if I'm being literal here, but in my mind, I think it was November of 2017 the last time I told anybody, hey, look at that offensive line. They're not perfect, but they look a lot improved. Talk Auburn offensive line and against a stout opponent like Penn State.
Yeah, I thought they did a good job. And, you know, it's kind of goes back to last year. We talked about the offensive line and how, you know, they went into a season kind of not really knowing what to expect. A bunch of new starters except for Nick Brahms. And then you had, you know, COVID-19 and you had guys missing time because of quarantine. So it was just a mixed bag all year long. They've now had a year under their belt to play. They've had a spring. And even though it's a new offense, it's an offense that fits these guys well. I think I talked about it before. I thought this offensive system fit the personnel for the most part. I think it's a better fit for offensive line. Obviously, down to your running game, when you look at Tank and, you know, the emergence of Jarquez Hunter, I think it's a better fit for Bo Nix and the tight ends getting involved. Now got to find some playmakers outside of wide receiver. That's the big standing issue coming out of last week.
All right, well, let's talk. We'll start with Bo and just kind of we'll run through some of these guys and units. But Bo, you know, the word, well, he just looks more under control. He looks like a third-year guy a whole lot more now than, you know, a guy who had already started whatever it was, almost 30 games, 25 games, whatever. It looks like some of that experience is kind of coming to roost right now. What's been your observation?
Yeah, I think he's, you know, he's a guy that's under control. I think some of it, I mean, you know, think about it. This is third offensive coordinator, third quarterback. And so I think it's a guy that you're now letting have some control of the offense, too. We saw him check a couple of times. We heard Brian Harsin talk about, you know, kind of the decision-making process for him and how he thought he did a better job. And so, yeah, I think it's an offense and a quarterback that I think is, you're right, much more in control of things because he has the ability now to control things.
Demetrius Robertson, what do you think his eventual role is going to be? Because they featured him, and I talked about that going into the Penn State game. I was like, it's pretty clear that there has been a forced, very, you know, directed effort to get him the football in various ways. As they jump into conference now, what do you think his role is going to be? Same?
Yeah, I think he's still a guy that's involved, but I think if you're Auburn, you're still searching. Yeah. You're still searching for guys. I think Javarius Johnson is a guy that, when healthy, is a guy that's going to be, you know, in that role as one of those three wide receivers when you go three wide. But I think, you know, if you're Auburn, I think you saw a guy, Kobe Hudson, that deserves more touches. You know, he had the fumble, which was, you know, just an unfortunate mistake, but he probably answered the bell as good as anybody did, you know, Saturday night in terms of the way he played at wide receiver, making the catches. So I think he's earned more, you know, more options. Now, can you find somebody else? You know, do you look at, you know, Elijah Canyon, Xavier Capers, two guys that made some plays last year? Can you get them more involved with Malcolm Johnson? I mean, we haven't seen Tavares Dawson yet. So that's, to me, can you go find the playmakers at wide receiver? That's the biggest issue on offense for me right now is trying to find somebody that can take that, you know, 5-yard pass or that 15-yard pass, make a guy miss and take it to the house. I mean, that's what they're missing right now.
Wrapping up with Jason Caldwell, just a couple more minutes again inside the Auburn Tigers. Again, get him on Twitter at ITATJason. You mentioned Jarquez Hunter there. Now, you know, I've commented before, if it's a kid out of Alabama, I can ask you and you'll start telling me about a sixth grade season. He's from Philadelphia, Mississippi, which is a heck of a place to go to find high school football players. Will you tell me your personal Jarquez Hunter knowledge timeline? Because I just knew the kid from recruiting, and I saw a three-star back that was kind of highly rated coming out of Mississippi. I didn't expect this.
Now, he's a guy that actually was on Auburn's radar early. He visited Auburn in February before the pandemic hit. But then, like a lot of kids, you know, we've talked about it, how it could be a lost class, a lost year. Guys, just I think you look at Jarquez Hunter, and I think probably most people thought, that kid's a really good football player. But if you look at him, you look and you think, he's probably 5'8",
yeah,
because he's just built that way. When you actually get to him, he's not 6 foot tall, but he's probably 5'10". And so you look and go, for a running back, plenty enough size, extremely strong. I think a guy that went into this and said, okay, I'm going to go prove some people what they missed out on. I mean, he's, you know, we talked to players, 600-pound, you know, squat for a freshman running back. You break Marcus Dupree's school record for touchdowns in high school.
That's not nothing.
I'd say that was a pretty good sign that this kid's got a chance to be special, and he's shown that so far.
All right, let's just talk a couple of guys on defense. And I just, again, this was by far the best opponent. Where was the pass rush?
Yeah, I think that's the question right now for this team. You know, and they did play a lot of, you know, two pass rush type guys at the same time. You know, first of all, I think Penn State's got a veteran offensive line. Those guys obviously got to tip your hat to them too. But, you know, sooner or later you got to create some pressure. And if it's not with four, then, you know, got to kind of create some more. Auburn played a little bit, I think, a little closer to the vest Saturday, and it cost them. You know, Sean Clifford, other than probably two throws, didn't really have any pressure all night. And when that happens, you're going to find open receivers. And, you know, so a lot of people talked about the secondary, and there were a couple of busts on tight ends, yep, especially on. But for the most part, I think most of it Saturday night was the lack of pressure created, you know, and having a good guy like John Dotson outside at wide receiver. It's hard. It's almost impossible to cover a guy like that if you don't get pressure on the quarterback.
All right. I know what Roger McCreary is. And he didn't have a perfect night, but he made the play. I know what McCreary is. I know what Smoke Monday is. But walk me through, like, when they're in nickel, for instance, who are the best five in Jason Caldwell's mind?
Yeah, I think you look, and I think Nehemiah Pritchard is, you know, at the other corner. I think he's playing really well. You know, Roe Torrence is a guy that played early in week one, has been missing the last couple of weeks. And I think he's a guy that can get back on the field. It'll be big for them. Same thing with Jalen Simpson, Georgia kid.
Yeah.
Over guy. I think, you know, they did it in the spring. They moved Nehemiah Pritchard inside the nickel a little bit. I think that's the future of secondary play right now. I think, you know, you look in the NFL, the nickel is another corner. In college football, they've continued to kind of play that hybrid safety kind of guy. And nowadays, I think you got to have a third corner. And so if it's me, I'm looking at another cover guy inside. So I'm putting either Nehemiah Pritchard or Roe Torrence, Jalen Simpson, somebody at that nickel and getting my three corners on the field. And then at safety, and to me, that's the other question. You look and they started, you know, by Darius Knight in week one, started Zion Puckett last week in week two. I think they're still searching to see, you know, the right fit right there next to Smoke Monday.
All right, last thing. We got like a minute and a half, so you can run a little bit with this. But, you know, I ask you about a kid from Alabama. You're like, oh, yeah, I know about him. Marcus Harris, I think he's turned into one of my favorite players in the conference. How did he go from Montgomery, Alabama, out yonder, and then have to come back?
Yeah, I think a little bit of a tweener. You know, in high school, he's probably 240 pounds, and at 6'2", you know, sometimes those are guys that get a little overlooked. I think he's one of those guys that people said, hey, you know, let's hold off on him. And he goes to Kansas, has a really good year, shows that, but he also gets up to 280 pounds. So now he's 6'2 and a half, 6'3, 280, and he's a different type of player, especially in this system. I think that's the key. 3-4, hard to maybe fit him in a 4-3 look at times, but I think as a 3-4, it's a good fit for him. Colby Wooden, those guys, I think that's right now, that's the future of this defense, and it's kind of the way defense is played right now.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't know the kid at all, but seems like a good teammate, just, you know, good attitude out there, positive influence as well, and for such a, you know, young-ish kid, just really impressive. So somebody you can pull for. Jason, I appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you, Chuck.
All right, again, Jason Caldwell inside the Auburn Tigers. And so, yeah, he goes out to Kansas, and there were some Kansas players that have used individual opportunities because their snaps available, brother. There are players who are using Kansas, like some have used JUCO route. Not everybody who goes to JUCO, it's a grades thing. Do you know why some kids would go JUCO previously? I don't have offers I like. So I'm going to go to NEO, or I'm going to go to Butler, or I'm going to go wherever, Northeast Oklahoma, or wherever, and I'm going to get some tape. And then I'm going to go to Iowa State or Auburn or wherever. Well, some kids are using Kansas for that. South Carolina got a corner for a minute. Auburn got a tackle. Virginia Tech got a running back last year. There are snaps available. Use Kansas instead of a JUCO.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY. And there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required. And they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
If you saw the headlines that SEC programs will be getting $19 million each from the new TV deal when the 3:30 Saturday game switches networks, you missed a detail, like one word. It's $19 million more per program. Like, they already get the SEC mega TV deal that is eating college sports. When they switch networks, when CBS's rights run out, and I think it's another 3 years, just that one deal moving over, just that, it's not $19 million a seat. It's $19 million more than each school. It's not $19 million divided by 14. Do you realize Conference USA teams, which is fine enough football, their TV deal averages between $400,000 and $500,000 annually per school? SEC is going to get $19 million more. Why? Because of stuff like happened Saturday in the Swamp. I watch college football whenever it's on. I couldn't get enough of that game because I thought I knew how it was going, and boy, was I wrong. Credit to Emory Jones, too. Like I said, I made an important distinction after I said I saw the best and worst of him. I was like, no, this is important. I saw the worst of Emory Jones, and then after that, I saw the best, and that's slightly different. I want to bring on now just great source whenever it's time to talk SEC football, college football in general. From College Football News, he's a Heisman voter, et cetera. It is Russ Mitchell. Russ, brother, how are you this Wednesday?
Chuck, you know, you really hit the nail on the head there, too, because that first half, Emory looked, you know, lost. He looked like he didn't know how to play the game. And then, you know, with Alabama, your foe, he comes back in the second half and leads the team right there down to, you know, it was a poor ending on that final go for two, but really proud with how Emory showed up there in the second half.
How do you take that then, and in your mind's eye, what are you seeing for Florida going forward beyond Saturday? I mean, respect every opponent. You are an athlete. You know that. But bigger picture than maybe the Vols. Take what you saw Saturday and what you've now seen through three Saturdays. Tell me how you think this unfolds for another nine weeks.
Well, I'm even more excited now about the Georgia-Florida game because, you know, which I had circled for the whole year. I have Georgia as the best team in the country. Anybody that's watched all six games that Alabama and Georgia has played knows that the best defense in college football by far, Georgia's front line might be the best front line I have ever seen in three decades of covering college football. So I think Georgia's the best team in the country. But Alabama's right there next to them. And if you think that you play Alabama with a rookie quarterback right down to the line and should have had it in OT, that the confidence you take out of that is huge. The question is, the more salient question is, will Florida end up being, even if they run the table, will they end up being the Texas A&M of 2020? If you remember, Texas A&M lost that game to Alabama, ran the table, and the College Football Playoff Committee still took Notre Dame. And I looked at the polls that came out. You know, I didn't drop Florida at all. And I look at the polls that came out, and, you know, if you're to read the voting, you know, folks think Cincinnati is better because it beat an average Indiana team. They think Clemson is better despite almost losing to a bad Georgia Tech team. They think Oklahoma's better, even though they, you know, nearly lost to Tulane and whatever that was against Nebraska. They think Notre Dame is better. Are you kidding me? Notre Dame nearly lost to a horrific Florida State team and nearly got pantsed by a horrible Colorado State team. They needed a late score to survive Purdue. So how the voters in these polls, you know, rank is important because I don't think the College Football Playoff Committee has the stones to do what they're supposed to do, which is to recognize the quality of the team, not the polls.
And what they have, I've said that, honestly, Russ, I said we need women doing all of this stuff because men, once we state our opinion, it's harder for us to backpedal and change our minds. And when you've got a bunch of dudes who have voted, well, I had Clemson 3. I can't drop them to 10. And so there's a lot of that week-to-week bias.
I can't, you know, and I know we have to sell newspapers or, you know, the modern day equivalent, you know, I mean, so I get it. I get that we have to have the polls out early, but it's just, it skews everything. Like if you look at mine, I have guys jumping, teams jumping all over the place, particularly at the beginning. Not Oregon jump way up and then I move them again. You know, you got to be very flexible in the beginning and you never see that. You never see any flexibility in these polls.
Let's talk ability to kind of evolve our opinions over the season. Texas A&M, now, do they look big time, beat Alabama, win the West potential? Or to me, they look like they're still finding their way. Tell me what you've seen with the Aggies.
You know, the big thing with Texas A&M, and you and I have been talking about this since week one, they're turning the ball over too much. You can't turn the ball over that much if you're saying that you're going to be an elite team. You know, it just doesn't work because when you start playing elite teams, other elite teams, if you're turning the ball over, you lose. So, you know, I look at this A&M team and they're turning the ball over too much. The offense is stalling. It's not playing as efficiently as you want to. The defense is great. Right. I mean, that's the thing. Everyone in this Arkansas A&M game this weekend, they're going to want to talk about offense. This is two really, really good defenses. Not Georgia good, but still good defenses. And if you look at Arkansas, what's really been special about Arkansas this season is that the defense has been terrific. The offense isn't turning the ball over. And the lines, that's what's made Arkansas good. Football isn't that complicated. If you win in the trenches, your wide receivers and running backs look great.
Oh, my gosh. It's still a line of scrimmage game, isn't it?
Yes. If you win in the trenches, your secondary looks fabulous, you know? It's all about controlling the trenches.
I want to – a funny example. I swear, hand of the Lord, this is true. About 10 years ago, I was talking about Mark Rippon. You remember him, right?
Right.
And I said, he was a perfectly fine quarterback. I said, he was Super Bowl MVP because he had like 8 days to make every read and then check the first receiver again. I was like, he had this wall in front of him. I got a call on air from Bostic, who was listening. And he was like, I appreciate the love, brother.
Yeah, baby.
I want to ask you a question about Saturday in Athens, Nashville, not the outcome. But I'm going to go back to the last full regular season where there wasn't backdrop and questions and whatever. So let's go back to 2019. Vanderbilt, right. Horrid team. They play Georgia. They play Florida in that season. Florida beats them 56-0. Georgia beats them 30-6. And that's a choice. Dan Mullen could have beaten them by 70. Kirby could have beaten them by 70. They both chose those outcomes. What do you think Kirby is going to choose on Saturday? Because I think if you're Georgia, isn't it time to beat people 56-0, not 30-6?
You know, and Kirby learned from Nick. And Nick, you can say everything, you know, that you want to about Nick Saban's personality being a bit rough. And I'm trying to be nice. But one thing he doesn't do is he doesn't run up the score. Nick Saban will score late to make it like 21-9. You know what I mean? He'll score a late touchdown to make it look good. But he doesn't run up. Like, go look how many times they score above 50. They usually
he'll shut it down. He'll shut it down.
Yes, and I think Kirby Smart does that too. But this is if I have Georgia as the number one team in the country, and I believe strongly in that. I had them before the year, and I've seen nothing so far this season to make me think otherwise. And I don't think the rest of the world sees that. I mean, you look, for example, I'm going to pull it up real quickly. You look, Alabama got 59 of the 62 first-place votes in the latest AP poll,
Georgia got three.
25. Yep. 64 of the top 65 first place votes in the coaches poll. Come on, man. You're not even trying. You're not watching the games.
You know, you mentioned that defense, and there was a note that I mentioned in terms of somebody else's defense, and it was, I don't know, maybe a year ago, but I remember it now, because you and I are basically the same age. And 1985 Oklahoma, national champions.
Yeah.
The last team in college football to lead the game in rushing defense, passing defense, total defense, scoring defense, all four categories. I'm kind of looking at Georgia this year because you can't run on them. Clemson, they've got their own issues, but they couldn't run at all. They had like 27 attempts. I think it was 6 feet.
They got 6 feet.
So you can't run on them. Which makes it easier to defend the pass, and then their offense can get on top of you a little bit more this year. I'm telling you, that defense has a chance to be historical this year.
Best front so far, I've been saying this every week, and I feel better and better about it, but the best front six, best, because there's six guys on a defensive line that are going to play in the NFL.
Yep.
So, and by the way, if you're an Alabama fan and you're listening, I'd almost rather be ranked number two. Your team is so, if you're ranked number two, that's something that your coaches can use to be like, use as leverage. How they really disrespect you. I think that if I'm Alabama, I'd almost rather have my team be ranked number two heading into the guts of the season.
Russ, wouldn't you, if you're Alabama, if you're Nick Saban, I know this is true. He would have preferred Alabama been dropped to two in the polls. And then I promise you, if he got to the end of his presser and nobody brought it up, like there is somebody in the crowd who had already been told, look, if nobody asks it, you ask it. Promise you.
Yes.
Because Nick said,
wouldn't
his response have been, yeah, and we should have dropped further than that? I mean, he would have used it in some way to speak to his team through the media. He would have had his fingers and toes crossed. You're 100% right. He would have preferred to drop.
It's been a tough week at practice in Tuscaloosa, let me tell you.
I'm certain. Russ, appreciate it as always, brother. We will do this again in 7 days.
All right, you take care now.
All right, Russ Mitchell, again, College Football News, Heisman voter. He would have gotten up there and... Coach, polls come out. I don't care about the polls. That's what the first thing he would have said. But should have dropped him even more. Or, I don't know, can't we be happy that he would have gone that way? That the team won? Doesn't it matter that they won? They were number one, and he doesn't care about the polls. If there is any way to mine value out of whatever it is, his word's clutter. Well, we've talked about that. Polls are clutter right now, unless there's value. If there's value in using a different kind of paint on the field, having a different caterer come in for the pregame meal, if there's value, I tell you what, he is the originator. He's the OG. He's got the belt on everything matters. If there's a reason it can give you a 1%, not even advantage, just increase whatever you're doing by 1%. Well, if all you're doing is changing the pregame meal, why wouldn't you? And I'm not even talking like if you go back, you know, 35 years, you know what a pregame meal was? Like steak and eggs. I'm not kidding, folks. Pizza party the night before and then steak and eggs for breakfast for the 12 o'clock kickoff. That's not really what it is anymore. So if you can improve by 1%, you do it. All right, so we're going to break, come back, wrap up.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
I don't feel great about it, to be honest with you. I mean, I get the situation. You know, I understand last year, going over there and then going neutral, you know, to me, go over there. And but we're in a contract. I understand that.
Sam Pittman. Being as bad as Sam Pittman as he can to still get his point across. They play Arkansas head coach. Hogs and Texas A&M get at it on Saturday. And as he said, that's that series they play in Jerry World. Yes, it is, as a matter of fact. And, in fact, we will go back in time to 2014. I'll just pick 2014. The Arkansas-Texas A&M football rivalry. And this thing is historical. It goes back to the beginning of last century. Like, they're 120-ish years old. They've played probably 80 times. I mean, it's big. And the Southwest Conference, whoo! Folks, do not lose track of what Arkansas, national power. Not always national champion, but they got one of those. 60, don't tell me, 64. Three? Damn. But they got a national championship, I think, in 64. Could have had another one, actually a couple more, in the late 60s. Whatever. But they were Cotton Bowl. They were conference champs. They were going on the road out of conference, and, I mean, just smashing in. It was run the ball. It was a tough program. Played Texas A&M again, 75, 80 times. 64 national champs. Thank you. Now I can advance to the lightning round. Let's go back to 2014 for the Texas A&M Arkansas football rivalry. Let's see. They played in Arlington, and then the next year in Arlington, and Arlington, and Arlington, 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 College Station, Texas. 2021, back in Arlington. And he's right. It's one of those things where I got a person that I know, and the Ivy League does not – I was going to say a friend. That's not accurate. Somebody that I know. The Ivy League does not give – athletic scholarships. But there are ways to, Dan, isn't this like they come up with ways to make it an athletic scholarship, grant in aids and whatever. But they got guys at Princeton playing football, and it's not an athletic scholarship, but they ain't paying, correct?
We can't give this education away. Come on now.
Exactly. Not to an athlete. But this kid was going to Dartmouth to play sports for free. And Dartmouth, that's Ivy League, not Princeton, according to some people. But, I mean, what school in the SEC is Vanderbilt? Everybody's got to have a number one. So he's going to Dartmouth for free. Yeah, no longer. Seems they don't want to play sports. Oh, so instead he's going to school in South Carolina. I'm not going to say where, but that's just where it is. And there was nobody to get mad at. That's the takeaway here. There was no, and I talked to him. In fact, I saw him about a month ago, and I was like, "Hey, how's school up there in South Carolina instead of the Ivy League, where he was going to athletically play his way through an Ivy League education?" And now he's doing something that is not an Ivy League education, but still perfectly fine. And he said that he's mature enough. He's like, "Yeah, there's nobody." He says, "I wanted to be angry." He's like, "But who are you going to get angry at? It's the pandemic." And this is one of those things. Sam Pittman, he's acknowledging, he's like, "We got a contract. I know what we got to do." The promoter does not care where last year's game was. He cares where this year's game is. And so they will play in Arlington. It's one of those, you know, Kirby and Gus got into a little something or other a few times, but one of them was, wasn't it Gus saying they wanted to even out the schedule because they would have Georgia and Alabama at home? Because when the SEC expanded and added Missouri and Texas A&M for proper and real, there was a one weird year sort of thing. And for instance, Auburn played Georgia and Jordan Hare in back-to-back seasons, which kind of threw things off. But it also threw off Georgia's home schedule. And, I mean, the trickle down was that adding those two teams and not looking forward – it screwed up about five different teams' schedules in that you have a year, for instance, where you may play programs like Georgia and Alabama. Oh, my gosh. And then you'll have a year where you don't have anybody a home game really within shouting distance of that. It's just, it really imbalanced the quality of it. And so Gus was complaining about that. He was speaking his mind about it. And Kirby piped up, snappy response. He's like, "I know how we can fix it. Let them play in Athens twice." And that didn't come to be. They wound up moving the game early. So this will be in Arlington this year. And he's right. He's like, "I get it." He's like, "I don't like it, but there's nobody to be mad at." So that's where it's going to be. And they can win this game. And Texas A&M is good enough to win a national championship. And Arkansas will be in this game, I promise you. Dan, how are you?
It almost kind of reminds me with the Ivy League discussion right there of, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Civil Action.
No.
John Travolta playing a trial attorney, Jan Schlickman. It's off a novel. And He's at one of these like New York City Ivy League clubs. I want to say it was like maybe like the Princeton club. And he was asked by the person he was meeting, "Oh, where did you go to school?" "I went to Cornell." And the guy, "Oh, not quite as good as Princeton, but still good school, you know." So that's kind of the way that the Ivy League looks at each other, where it's like
the screen pass.
No, it very much is.
If Harvard is covered downfield.
It very much is. It's, "You went to Dartmouth? Oh, that's cute. You went to the party school, you know." But it's like, "No, I went to an Ivy League school. I went
Colgate,
to a very good school." I think so.
No, that's Patriot League.
I was going to say, Patriot League is kind of like the AA version of the Ivy League.
Exactly.
It's still very good schools, but yeah, not quite the Ivy League. Oh, Chuck, somebody did it again. And this time it is in the form of the SEC coaches teleconference, where we've heard rat poison, as you kind of talked about a little bit with Russ Mitchell in terms of the poll questions and all those different types of things. But somebody on today's earlier SEC coaches teleconference asked Dan Mullen about a blueprint to beat Nick Saban. And he goes through, played him close, but still, I guess the best thing I could say, make less mistakes, because they play very consistent and you got to play your A game to beat them. I mean, we've seen the numbers of the, you know, your quarterback, if they don't throw an interception, well, then they've got an opportunity. Emory Jones threw an interception, and also too, your place kicker missed an extra point. So those are reasons instead of being able to kick for the extra point at the end, you're having to go for two to try to just force overtime, and they were unable to do that. But it's also though too, with Nick Saban, it reminds me of, it wasn't the Saban Belichick documentary, but it was footage from when he was with Belichick with the Cleveland Browns, and it's him with the glasses sitting at the table where he's having
no
the meeting.
Hair,
and he's talking about, if we don't do this, we're going to get our butts kicked. And that is Nick Saban now, when he hears that, is talking to his guys, find our weaknesses, and if we don't correct them, we're going to lose. He's already ahead of this right now.
his GAs and offensive analysts and what they've been self-scouting every minute. I mean, they do that anyway. There is, and most often it's to confirm, yes, this is working 87% of the time. Right now, there is a different emphasis with what they're doing. With the they do it all the time, the self-scout. Right now, there's more of an emphasis on those results and actually saying, all right, how do we get out of this? They're still great. By the way, yeah, they won. Still undefeated. All right, they're still Bama. It just looks a little different right now. All right, wraps it up on a Wednesday, folks. Be back this time tomorrow, I promise you. More college football conversation right here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.